Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you for living off your joy. Say, my mercy and my joy I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world given, give that unto us. That my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. That is the purpose and the will of God for all of his children. Father, we thank you. We accept, we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what this word throws at us, Lord, as overcomers that you've called us to be, your word, your joy shall prevail in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing short but the fullness of joy. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Though the Bible says, you know, the world, a time of trouble, as I've never been since the world began, is what we are living right now. But peace, see, in John 14, I live with you. Lord, that my joy may remain. So we accept this, Lord, and we thank you for them all. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Prophecy takes a very important place. In the word of God and the plan of God for his people. In fact, among many other things, the Bible itself is a book of prophecy. No more than that, a book of prophecy. To the extent that even the Bible closes with a whole book on about prophecy. So this morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk about that book. That book of the Bible. Meaning the book of Revelation. So the book of Revelation is significant. Contrary to what the heading in our Bible, look at your Bible and see what it says at the time of the book of Revelation. They say they call it the revelation of St. John the Divine. That's not the revelation of St. John. Amen? It is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what it says in the very first verse, Revelation 1:1. I don't know why they come up with that title really, you know? Revelation 1:1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Well, so we don't know how they come up with that title, but that's what the Bible says. The word revelation means what? It is a Greek word meaning apocalypsis. That's what it means in Greek. Revelation in Greek means apocalypsis. That's why sometimes they call that book of Revelation the Apocalypse, right? That's why they call it that way, you know, another name for the book of Revelation. There are two of them in the Bible, two witnesses. There is an Old Testament Apocalypse, the book of Daniel. We know that, you know. Anyway, so apocalypsis means what? Taking away of a day, like you have a statute, right? Initially, maybe it has to be somebody and so on. When they are making, they will veil it and wrap it up and so forth. A day will come and they will remove that veil and expose the statue, isn't it? So the same thing. So, though it discloses the high priestly and kingly glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the book is mostly the unveiling of those events that shall precede and accompany its return to the earth. Just talking this morning about the book of Revelation, prophecy and but how we should pay attention to prophecy and so on. And so importantly, Bible closes with a whole book. It's a book of prophecy really, you know. That told even that book that the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy. So I want to make sure that we don't get our attention away from prophecy. Anyway, that this book is made by the events that shall occur at the coming of the Lord is seen in the fact that what is revealed in the book was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. Now the scripture says to show us his servants, you know, the things which must shortly come to pass, like he said in verse 1 of Peter 2. Well, concerning the things he had prophesied against Jerusalem, you know, in Luke 21, Matthew 24, and he told them many things about what happened to Jerusalem and so forth, just before his death and subsequent resurrection, you know, and he told them these things and so forth. And then the disciples in Matthew 24 verse 3 now say, they came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? In his response, as to the time of his coming, the Lord said in Mark 13:32, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But what happened thereafter, after his ascension to heaven? He received from the Father the information that disciples asked for. And before the close of the first century, after he left and so forth, he sent an angel messenger to impart to John, the beloved, one of the disciples, of course, the last of the apostles, as far as we know it, at least, was the last of them, really, you know. Many of them were martyred. We know of Nero, how he beheaded Apostle Paul. We know of Nero, he said Nero, how he crucified Apostle Peter. And we are legends said that Apostle Peter said, you know what? Yeah, I don't mind me being crucified and so, but what he had to do, I had to crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified upside down, like my Lord did, and so on, like that, you know. So we know all those things and so forth, you know. And all these things, you know, the Lord, you know, already foretold them that will happen to them and so on, like that, you know. So anyway, so he was the one that was the last of the apostles, John, you know, so, you know, of those apostles and so on, you know. So, and the information was unveiled to him, whatever the Lord told him, was unveiled in the book of Revelation. I'm just talking about the book of Revelation this morning, the significance of it and so forth, you know. Thus, we see that the canon of scripture, by that I mean that the collection or list of sacred books accepted as genuine will be incomplete without this message from the Lord Jesus Christ to his church after he returned to heaven. While the Apostle John is the writer of the book, he is not the author of that book at all. He is not the composer. No. The author is the Lord Jesus Christ, like I, you know, the Bible says and so on. The apostle was only a scribe. That's wrong. Was just a scribe. In fact, twice the apostle declared in that same book of Revelation that the book was revealed to him by an angel. Let's look at Revelation 1:1, which I read before. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The last chapter of the book, 22:8 of Revelation. And I, John, saw these things. I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. So that, you know, the story of what happened and so on. And we even know too that we know that he also was a scribe for a gospel that bear his name, and three other epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Another proof that he was not the composer of author of the book of Revelation will be seen in the style by which the Holy Ghost gave him in the epistles that he wrote, three of them. And in the gospel that he wrote as a scribe, the style of Revelation is different. Another proof that he wasn't the composer or anything like that. You know, we know all scripture anyway, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. All the men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But the book of Revelation even have another significance to it and so on. Or in its subject matter in this book, and in the majesty and sublimity of its language, the book of Revelation, which is in harmony, this sublimity and majesty is in harmony with the context thereof. The book of Revelation differs from all other books and is comparably above them in a way to think and so on, that, you know, thus revealing its divine authority or authorship rather. In fact, it is the only portion of the New Testament to which the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives his endorsement and affixed his signature, saying, at its close, in Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, you see that, to testify unto you this thing in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. He signed it like that, you know. He did it like that, you know. Thus, as the scripture has said, the book of Revelation is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And then he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. One thing is this. Who this angel was, we are not told. Bible didn't tell us who that angel was. But one thing we know in the book of Revelation, when John fell down to worship that angel, in Revelation 22 verse 8, hear what he says, and I John saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Verse 9 says this. Then said he unto me, I'm saying we don't know who this angel is, God didn't tell us about him and so on. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, that's what he says, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So we're never to worship angels and so on, that you know. Anyway, he must therefore have been one of the old prophets, maybe raised for that purpose only. God knows, but whatever they didn't tell us, just leave it that way. Many Old Testament prophecies were sealed and reserved for later generations to understand them. Again, this morning, I just was led to just talk about the book of Revelation and so on, and let you know the significance of this and so on in a way. But in the case of the book of Revelation, the seals are opened up, and we are specifically told to read and keep the things written therein, for the time is at hand. As an example of this contrast between the Old Testament prophecy and the book of Revelation, we can see in the book of Daniel, the angel specifically declared to Daniel that the prophecy given to Daniel were for the time of the end, and not for his generation at all. That is in Daniel 12:4. For thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. See that? Sealed. Even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then in verse 9, and it said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. So go for the Old Testament, Apocalypse, and so on, as you know. But the writer of the book of Revelation of the scribe, meaning John, was told in the Revelation 22 verse 10, see not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. See that? For the time is at hand. Maybe just to even draw attention to the very important, you know, play that the book of Revelation plays in the role of the Christian. I mean, many Christians just overdo this book, so that, you know, ought not to be so. So the book of Revelation is not a sealed book, no. It was written to be understood, contrary to many people in the church and so on, that you know. Who know how many people ever, unless in the church, I don't know, how many people pay for this book in the old church? Take a summary. You can just go across, you know, and just ignore it, and so on, that you know. The book of Revelation uses symbols. Indeed, there are more signs and symbols in the book of Revelation than any other book in the Bible. Where at first though, or at first thought, this might seem disconcerting to the average reader. Yet, these symbols are not incomprehensible mysteries. No, they are not. For they are either explained in the context where they are made in the book of Revelation, or you can find them elsewhere in the scripture. Just talking this morning concerning the book of Revelation, very, very important book. God's word is important, but this one takes some other significance and so on. Here, because symbols are used, a thorough knowledge of the entire Bible is required for an accurate interpretation of these prophecies. In other words, the book shows that it was written for a special class, for those who are acquainted with the Word of God and who have spiritual discernment, and not for the carnally minded reader. Any wonder that many people shun that book because of that which you have to do? As the scripture has said, told Moses in Deuteronomy 29:29, so the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, the Bible says. So what has to be verse in the scripture and so on? That's why they don't want to do that. They don't want to be verse in the scriptures, right? So because of slothfulness and so on like that, you know. So that's another reason why many don't read that book as often as you do. The book of Revelation unveils the future and makes known the things according to what he says, which must shortly come to pass. If it was short in 96 AD, what are we talking about now? It's even at the door. This great book, which is a flawless perfection, inspires admiration and wonder as the great and crowning revelation of God to man. That's what that book is, the crowning revelation of God to man. It is extremely important that every Christian understand the meaning and significance of its prophecies. Otherwise, ignorance of its message cannot otherwise than affect adversely the believer's destiny. Our place and position in the eternal ages to come will be determined to no little extent by how we give heed to its message. Usually, at least once in a year, if not many times, I just run through that book. You know, it's just so important. Anyway, the book cannot be isolated from the rest of the Bible. No, you can't. Indeed, its message is deeply and inseparably rooted in the Old Testament prophecies. It introduces and originates little that is absolutely new. No, doesn't do that. Instead, it takes the Old Testament prophecies, unfolds them, harmonizes them, and coordinates them into a grand chronological scheme, showing the Lord Jesus' plan to take over the kingdoms of this world and set up the kingdom of God. How the book is doing, so many things. In fact, the first three chapters of that book, you know, it's called the Church Ages and so forth. They have a twofold application, first three chapters. The first application is that it applies to the seven local churches in Asia as they existed in 96 AD when it was written. Yeah, the book was written by Noah. Not only that, those three chapters also are messages, a foreview of the church throughout the seven stages of its existence. So it's a double meaning to that first three chapters, the condition of the churches, seven of them in Asia in 96 AD when it was given, and also a foreview of the seven stages. We are now probably past the last one, Laodicean Church Age, right? Either we are in it or we are past it, as long as you know. So we know, so we see that how important it is. The book of Revelation is not a history book, no, but a prophetic book. It does not record the past, doesn't record the past, but reveals the future. And it claims to be so in many other of its pages. For example, in the title of it, Revelation 1:3, I'm saying that doesn't record history. It's a book of prophecy. In the title, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. There you go. The book of prophecy doesn't record history. No. And keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. Even at the last chapter, it's telling you the same thing as the book of prophecies, Revelation 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The book of prophecy, right? Verse 10 says, four times in that chapter, telling us that's a book of prophecy, not a book of history. And he says unto me, in verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. John to verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The fourth time, that chapter, telling us that the book of prophecy, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the Holy Spirit, and for the things which are written in this book. So this book of Revelation is the summing up and consummation of all prophecy, really. In it, all unfulfilled prophecy is fulfilled. It is indeed the open door to the future and to the understanding of events soon to come to pass, as it says. It is the finality in prophecy until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. There has been no new revelation since it was written. And all those who claim to have received new and later revelation are either imposters or false, messengers and something like that, There is no place for addition or subtraction in this book. Can't add to it, can't take away from it, like the Bible says. The book opens a blessing, it opens a blessing promised to the reader, or if too illiterate to read, to hear that. In the the apostles and so forth, on the Sabbath day, throughout the early church, in the synagogue, they will come and they open the scripture and they read them. Even in Luke 4, the Lord himself, that was after his manner and so on, that Luke 4, 17, I believe it is, and so on, came and take the book and so on, and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has sent me, he has anointed me, rather, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, to heal the brokenhearted, open the blind of the blind, proclaim deliverance to the captive, and to set at liberty then that are bruised. A fine where it was written, their manner to read in the synagogue and so on. Even Apostle Paul in the missionary journeys and so forth, like at Antioch, Ezef and Barnabas and so forth, when they get to Antioch and so forth. I will tell the Sabbath day they went to the synagogue, they found the Antioch where the Jews were. Bible says after the reading of the scripture of and so on, then they now ask Paul and Barnabas, do you have any word of exhortation for us and so forth? So it's just a manner of them to read the Bible, the synagogue and so on. So to them that read it, or if I literate enough not to read, to them that hear the word of this prophecy, that's what he's talking about here. Praise be the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, so we see that here. So the summary of all prophecy and so on, So it opens a blessing promised to the reader, or if people cannot read, to the hearer. That's what he said in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand, he said. So we see that one. Then the book ends, so it opens with a blessing to the reader and the hearer. Then the book closes with a curse upon those who add unto or take from it. 22 verse 18 of Revelation. Look at it. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book and so forth. If any man shall add unto this thing, God shall take add unto him the plague that are written therein in this book and so on. Anyway, the book should be shunned by many, because of his mysterious character is not any wonder at all. That people say, too many symbols, oh, we don't know what this one means. I don't know. But if they have really taken time or have listened to anointed ministers of God and so on, that you know, have got the revelation and so on, they could have learned, right? But the majority of the body of Christ, they just shun the book. Many even there was a time they don't want to put in the Bible at all, you know. Anyway, it was one of those devices of Satan, really, to get people to neglect a book that foretells its casting out of the heavenly as prince of the power of the air, as he claims to be, or as the god of this age, or its imprisonment in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and finally is casting us into the lake of fire. That's why he doesn't want people to get to know the book of Revelation, you know, and people and make people to make excuses and so on. I'm saying this one this morning just to really not to just neglect prophecy, Bible prophecy I'm talking about. People call many things prophecy these days. Talking about Bible prophecy and so on, that, you know, much more to this book of Revelation. Anyway, so Satan doesn't want people to know about it's not cast down, you know, as prince of the power of the air. Nothing wants to know that, pretty soon he won't be no longer the god of this age anymore, that his list is running over, that Adam gave to him. They don't want people to know that, or people don't want to know that kind of thing and so on, anyway. Why Satan hates all scripture in general, he particularly hates the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. He does. That's why he attacks the authenticity of the book of Genesis with such things as the theory of evolution, satanic doctrine, that is pseudoscience, right? Or the Bible call it in 1 Timothy 6, 20, opposition of science, falsely so called. So is the theory of evolution. It's part of that opposition of science, falsely called, is this pseudoscience that kind of dispute the authenticity of the book of Genesis and all like that, you know. Satanic inspiration, that Darwin man got into him. Bit of devil and all like that, you know. Anyway, so, and caused many to neglect the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was written to reveal or disclose the purpose of God as to the earth and the nation, and we are not prying into God's secrets by doing that when we read and study the book of Revelation. It being the last prophecy, we naturally will expect it to sum up all previous prophecies, and as all previous prophecies have to do with the church, number one, Israel, number two, and the nations. So we should expect the last prophecy to give all the final word as to them. And that is what the Bible does, Book of Revelation does. Talking about the church, Israel, and then the nations. We find the church in the beginning. That's why the first three chapters and so on is in the beginning. Israel in the middle. That's what it is, and so on, that you know. And the saved nations at the end. You can see for yourself, you know, go to Revelation chapter 7 and so on. I'm going to read it, beginning to know, as long as that you know. They were sealed and so on, and 44,000 were sealed and so on, as that you know. Anyway, the church age begins and so on, as that you know. It's just a general thing about the book of Revelation. So we should pay attention more to the prophecies there and what I'm talking about, and the Bible prophecy in general. So these three are also seen in the construction of the Holy City. Three, meaning the church, Israel, and then the nations. So in the construction of the Holy City, we see the same thing. The New Jerusalem, where we have the church as the foundation. If you look at the book of Revelation, look at the New Jerusalem. The foundation is what? It's the church, represented by the names of the 12 apostles, right? What the Bible says. And Israel in the gates, the 12 gates, right? They have the name of the children of Israel in their life, you know. And, and the names, of the cap, and the safe nations, and some of that, so that walk in the light of the city's glory. So the Bible is consistent in all these things. The book of Revelation is largely Jewish, where the church was originally all Jewish. We know that because God had some plan for the Jews, right? They were planning for our sake, right? God hasn't forgotten them, really. In a way, it was largely Jewish, in the sense that, the signs and symbols we find in the tabernacle and so on, the ark, the altar, the trumpets, the plagues, and the ceiling of the 144,000 and so forth. That's the sense I'm talking about, that's Jewish in a way, with all those signs. General things about the book of Revelation, it's a book that, Bible says, even the blessedness of even reading it, is just one thing, and even hearing it. It is Jewish because God in it, after the church is taken off, this again with Israel, he's going to do it. And of course, that's a general way we can look at the book of Revelation. The church goes off in Revelation chapter 4, right? Doesn't return until Revelation 19. In between, it's mostly Jewish. That is the general trend, really. I don't want to go into the fine point of it. But we know the church goes off in Revelation 4, and they are opening the door in heaven. They come up either. It's another scripture for the rapture of the church. We know that. Then, of course, thereafter, the seas and some of that, are open and so on. You have the Jewish people and so on, the great tribulation, the ceiling and so on, are all Jewish and so forth. You have the remnant of the Gentiles that are not raptured here too. Anyway, so we see that in that sense, we can see that, Jewish and so on, Anyway, in the book of, it's the book of consummation. That book of Revelation, the book of consummation. And its proper place in the sacred canon is where it is placed, right at the end of the Bible. The book is full of action. If you look at it and read it closely, heart and heaven are brought near together. The clouds rose away, if you want to call it that way. See the thrones, the elders, and the angelic form are seen. Harp, trumpets, cries from disembodied souls, and choruses of song are heard. Heart touches heaven, and alas, even touches air also. Good and evil meet. Just interesting things, in the book of Revelation, and some of that, about it. There is no blending, but sharp contrast and long protracted conflict that ends in victory for the good. And the beast, the false prophet, Satan and his host, and death and Hades find their place in the lake of fire. Just imagine the book of Revelation right now. It describes the culmination of the evils for sin, and describes in many parts of the Bible. Like I said before, you take all the Bible prophecies and put them in the chronological form and come like that, Anyway, so are the at last, the patience of the patriarchs and saints is rewarded. The longest of faith and the hope of Israel and the church fulfilled. And the glory of God shines unhindered on the scene of righteousness and peace. Many things about the book of Revelation, I'm talking about this morning, just how we should pay special attention. We have to pay special attention to all the Bible, all the scripture and so on, but the book of Revelation holds a special place, really, The Bible begins with paradise lost. That was read in the Bible. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, let him put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord, God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, paradise lost, right? At the beginning of the Bible. At the end of time for the Bible, paradise was regained. What are we talking about? The Bible closes with paradise regained. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Even in Revelation 22 verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, see that, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, he said. Verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So, begin with paradise lost and end it with paradise gained. Many things can be said. I think what I want to say this morning is to draw attention not to forsake prophecy. We are living in the most prophetic generation that has been declared, and we believe with all our hearts. And don't settle for less than what has been given us. We should take heed to that which we have had. Yes, at any time, you should let them sleep. We live in a very serious hour, an hour comparable to that just before the flood. I want to round this up right now. Just not the book of Revelation alone, but not to be drawn away for the importance of prophecy, no, for the end of the age which you and I are living. So I say again, we are living in a serious hour. An hour comparable to that just before the flood. Today, people are engaged in a mad race for the material benefits and the pressure of a world that is dying. It's a dying world, really. I don't care what they think. They think they are improving, right? They think that they are getting civilized and so on, that, you know, but in the wrong way. While they are doing this, all the time, the sword of impending judgment is hanging over the nation. A judgment like of which the world has never known before. They think they have seen anything just on the June of 6th of June, what they call the D-Day, 80 years, the D-Day, when Europe was liberated, World War II, all those things and some of that, you know. So World War One, World War Two will be as nothing compared with what will come, you know. So the beginning of sorrows and so on like that, you know. We are living in a perilous time and so on. So judgment like of which the world has never seen or known or will ever see again. But the Bible says in more than one place, Daniel 12:1, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. The Lord picked it up or reinforced it in Matthew 24 verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Combine all the world wars together, combine all the plague, the black plague, whatever you want to call the bubonic plague, combine all of them together, it'll be nothing compared with what is coming. Anyway, beginning of the war to this time, no shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be sick. But for the less sick, those days shall be shortened. So, God's children, if we are wise, and we believe by the grace of God, yes we are, by the grace of God, if we are wise, we shall take advantage of this day of opportunity. Talking about people running madness for work and so on, we are to do our work, yes. Christianity is not for the feeble-minded really, you know. We are not to be slothful in business. Whatever we do, we are to do it with all our might. Bible says, your work and so on. Do it all your might and so on. Tear down a man. Diligence in his business. He shall not stand before me, man. He shall stand before kings. The point the Lord is making is that we never should put anything ahead of the Lord. Anything put ahead of the Lord is idolatry, period. You know? The Lord said, as it was in the day of Noah, what were they doing? They were building, they were marrying and giving a marriage, which we know of those in themselves, getting married was a sin. In fact, right in the book of, at the beginning of ministry, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Bible says, and Jesus and his disciples were called, right? Nothing wrong with it. Marriage is honorable and so forth, and the bed is on the fire. The Bible says, what happened was, they didn't listen to the prophetic thing, the warning, like the Bible has warned us, the book of Revelation. They didn't listen to the impending judgment. That's what was their problem. They make all those things to be an idol to them and so on. So when I say that what happened right now and so on, and not to the Christian, you do your work with all diligence. Don't be thoughtful in business. So if we are wise, we will take advantage of this day of opportunity. Oh, I hate to be rushing when sin becomes. Bible say, Bible say, a wise man and so on foresee the evil, right? Then he hideth himself. But the other man, the foolish and the other one, they just ignore it and they are punished. We don't want to be that way and so on. Anyway, so the precious hours, I'm finishing that now, that have been allotted you and I should be used to prepare ourselves to be true overcomers, to have oil in our lamps, or vessels rather, that we may be ready as the wise virgin of the Lord's parable to enter into the marriage supper of the Lord as wise children. That's what we should be doing right now. 25 of Matthew verse 10 says, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now the Bible says, not only that, our preparation for the coming of the Lord, beyond that, that we may do our part in reaching the lost by contributing our faith, our prayer. There are so many ways you can do it. You contribute your faith, your prayer, our means to the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the evangelization of the world. Don't you forget Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we always say it here, the work of intercession is what every Christian can participate. Not because to go and preach in India. And you can still preach in India now. You can send a missionary there by your phone, contribute your faith, your means. You can be preaching in Russia right now if you see an evangelist going there. So many ways you can just, do this and that, Anyway, so let's see here. I finish this one right now. 2 Peter 1:10. We are for brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Just paraphrase that one right there, not word for word. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says, last scripture here. Then, when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, that we may be of them which are alive and remain, and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. The emphasis is don't neglect prophecy. We are the most prophetical generation and so on. Bible says the coming of the Lord in the dread night is even at the door right now. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remind ourselves of these things that they not speak from our arms in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to be awake. We are not children of night. We are children of day. And by the grace of God, that day will not come upon us unaware. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not even only to be getting ready. Help us to be of them that give, help give the cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. We know who could have given such a cry, even for the bride herself. So we thank you for the age we are living in, Lord, not leaving us in dark. Father, we thank you, we worship you this morning. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Father, we thank you for the new week we have entered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Set you before our feet, and you are with us always. We set to the end of the earth, or the end of the age. Thank you for your angels that encamp around us, Lord. The angel of the Lord encamp around us, fear him, and deliver us death. You gave us Psalm 91 for a purpose, for this age we are living in, Lord. And so we are very thankful, Lord. We will not be afraid for the terror by night, all the arrow that fled by day, all the pestilence that walketh in darkness, all the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. It is written, it shall not come nigh unto us. Only with our eyes shall we see and behold the reward of the wicked. If there be any trouble, he has promised will be with us. Not only that he will deliver us and show us your salvation. With long life will you satisfy us. Bible says much more to enter into the coming of the Lord. Whatsoever we do shall prosper. This is Bible says this. He said, my son, in Proverbs 4, hear to my sins, incline your ear to them, hide them in the midst of your heart. They shall be, life unto them that find them and so forth. And this thing we speak to ourselves, Bible says, meditating, confessing this word of God, whatsoever we do shall prosper. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the will of God. Lord, call to be overcomer. We want to be of them that walk with you in white. We want to be of them that walk, that go with you whithersoever that go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Wherever we go, we shall find favor. Bible says they added church. Bible says they went and break bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And they found favor with every man. So let it be with us as it is written in the word, Lord. Favor everywhere we turn. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the little children who are on school vacation and so on, that school break. Guide them as you did during the school time, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for the guide your angels. Giving unto them, Lord. Their angels always beholding my Father's face. It said in the Bible. All the Bible says, if any man you hurt any of these ones, better for that man that he means to be hung upon his neck and be dragged in the midst of the sea. Deliver the children for the evil of this age, Lord Father. All the children of the household of faith. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we worship you. Keep them that summoned of old, Lord. Never knew any evil. Give him unto the Lord and so forth become the first seer in Israel. Nor he was in the world and was a part of this at all. Shield them from the evil of this world. Evil thoughts in the schools, Lord. By prayers everywhere, Lord. Keep them from all these things, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. They that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the cause of our God. We are the children that God has given unto us. We are for signs and we are for wonders to this generation. In the mighty name of Jesus. God has blessed us. Then are our children holy. I don't care the distraction for now to some of them, but it is written that because we are believers, then are our children holy. I have to pray for them and command the blessings upon them as the scripture has said. To be unto them, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you for the new way. We go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As overcomers in the name of the Lord. Little children, you have overcome the wicked one. We know we are because our victory is that which is wrought for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who we are, overcomers through his finished work. Thank you for hearing us this morning. We bless you. We worship you, Lord. Father, whatever prayer request may be in our heart this morning, we turn them over to you, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You open up your hand, Lord. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. So therefore, our desire this morning, we turn it over to you, Lord. It shall be met in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Making us perfect and entire, Lord. Wanting nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus. It is so because the Lord will supply them all. Our God shall supply all our needs. We are not ashamed of the scripture. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare what God has declared. The imperishable word of God. Lord, in the name of the Lord. So be to us according to thy word, Lord. Father, we thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.